Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
You're listening to Soundside. I'm Diana Opong in for Libby Denkman. For 20 years, Radioactive Youth Media gave young people in the Puget Sound region the skills and resources to do public radio journalism. I'm speaking in the past tense because earlier this week, KUW president and general manager Karen Mathis announced the station would be sunsetting the program due to budget shortfalls. We'll reflect on what this program meant to the journalists who ran Radioactive and the youth that were part of it next week. But in the meantime, we want to bring you a final installment of our Radioactive Rewind series. Over the last two decades, listeners have heard stories from Radioactive journalists. These journalists were teens finding their way in the world and reflecting on their place in it. Many listeners let us know that they wanted to get an update on what's happened to the people and reporters behind these pieces. Today, we're revisiting a story produced by Radioactive alum Avery Steyer from back in 2016. 8 years ago, Avery took us to a place in Capitol Hill that had a special spot in their life, Lambert House, a community center for LGBTQ+ youth. It was there that Steyer met their best friend and mentors that accepted them. Since that original story, Avery has aged out of the youth programs Lambert House currently offers, but that doesn't mean they've moved on. Avery now volunteers weekly at Lambert House, and they let Soundside producer Noel Gasca tag along for one of their volunteer shifts. And just a heads up, this story does include a mention of suicide.
Hi, I'm Noel. I'm with KUOW.
Okay, hi.
Hi. The moment I step into Lambert House on a Friday night, I feel a buzz. Besides Avery, I don't know a single person at Lambert House. And yet, I feel that anxious joy you feel before you step into a house party or a big gathering. You don't know which of your friends you're going to see tonight, but you're excited to be there because you know you're going to have a good time. Like all new visitors to Lambert House, I get a tour. It's just before dinner time, but there's already over a dozen kids hanging out. A few are in the TV room, playing Mario Kart. Avery points out some of the funky decor.
So the TV room has a really beautiful original wallpaper. It's like this yellow and green, really ornate looking wallpaper. We got a chandelier. There's a lot of really quirky, beautiful foliage and designs and things that... So this house really is just like a culmination of history. There's just lots of different parts that come together to make it feel so cozy and homey. I think when we go out to outreach, we really want to put emphasis on, this is a house. This is not just, a bland community center. It's super charming, super cozy. It'll feel like a second home to you. And that's how it felt like to me. And I'm sure.
As we move into the living room, Avery points out the decades worth of artwork and posters tacked up on the wall, a nail painting station, and a pool table that people have stood on during drag performances.
Oh, sometimes you'll see kids playing pool, and other times you'll see youth just throwing the balls this way and that, getting their energy out, just having fun with the pool table.
Avery tells me a volunteer will step in if the throwing gets out of hand, but at the end of the day, Lambert House is about creating a space to let youth express themselves in ways that may be prevented at school, especially if they don't have access to clubs like a Gay Straight Alliance. Avery tells me that's what Lambert House gave them.
I went to high school with a place that did have a GSA. It wasn't super populated. I was the president for the last couple of years. I was trying really hard to get people to come, but it wasn't a huge turnout. So I really appreciated Lambert House because it was all queer people all the time.
Avery is one of the many adults who return to Lambert House weekly to donate their time. Avery helps out wherever they're needed, whether that means washing dishes after dinner, organizing the library, or giving tours to youth who are visiting Lambert House for the first time. And even though Avery has aged out of the services Lambert House provides to youth, they keep coming back week after week because they know a place like Lambert House is still needed. It's dinner time now, and Avery guides me into the kitchen. At a huge rectangular table, kids are seated together eating pasta and broccolini. There's a lot of talking and joking around between bites.
Honestly, the conversations that the youth have now are like exactly the ones that I had when I was a teenager. Like, just about sexuality and gender, like no filter, just like anything and everything. And it's always hilarious. And, you know, obviously there's some deep conversations here and there too.
In between dinner, nail painting, and video games, I find a moment to hang out in a quiet room with Brandon Knox, the program director for Lambert House. Just like the kids eating dinner and hanging out downstairs, Brandon used to spend his Friday nights at Lambert House too. And just like Avery, he's back to pay it forward.
I grew up in Longview, Washington, and it did not feel safe for me to be out, so I wasn't. And I came to Seattle to go to UW. And was able to come out here and start to find myself more. At the end of my sophomore year, I was exploring the city on a bus and just checking out new neighborhoods. And I happened to overhear a couple of high schoolers talking about Lambert House a few seats ahead of me. And it just sounded like, oh, this is a place I need to figure out what it is and check it out.
That was in 2006. During the mid-2000s, when Brandon was in the youth programs at Lambert House, he says that mainstream queer representation was still rare. A lot of the young people coming to Lambert House didn't have parents that were supportive of them after they came out. Brandon believes there have been inroads when it comes to acceptance and allyship since then. But what hasn't changed is the need for queer community and physical spaces where LGBTQ plus youth can be with peers of a similar identity.
We still have high schoolers in Seattle and surrounding communities that are thought of as very progressive, where those students tell us, the environment at their school isn't great. They're maybe out at school, but Lambert House is really where their community is for them.
Another person who found his community at Lambert House is Tong Dao. Tong has been coming to Lambert House for almost 9 years. On the night I meet him, he's hanging out with his partner, Gideon, and working on a scythe made out of PVC pipe and tape for live-action role-playing. Tong discovered Lambert House when he was in middle school. It was a difficult time for him, and he was in need of safety and connection.
My household was homophobic. I was not out to anyone. I didn't have a lot of friends. I was just finishing up middle school. And I was in a place where I didn't feel like I had anyone that I could confide in, anyone I can reveal my true self to. I didn't feel like I had any place to do that either. So feeling like I didn't have a place in the world has led me down to feeling very suicidal. And I had a plan. I had the ability. And as kind of a Hail Mary, I looked up on Google, like queer youth hangout or something like that. And Lambert House was the first result.
Tong's first time at Lambert House was on a Wednesday night. There weren't a lot of other kids around, but he says as soon as he walked through the door, he felt welcomed.
There were volunteers who kept me company, who played pool with me, who kind of just affirmed that I belonged in this place, and it felt really nice. And around dinner time on that Wednesday, I met some queer people for the first time, and it was really cool to see other people, older people who are queer.
Tong says he's alive today because of Lambert House. This is where he feels free, where he feels comfortable enough to sit down, relax, breathe, and not feel like he has to hide any parts of himself. Tong is about to age out of the youth programs, but like Avery, he's not planning to say goodbye. He's already volunteering with Avery to go to middle schools and high schools to tell other kids about Lambert House. Fridays and Saturdays are busy for Lambert House right now, but Tong tells me it can get quiet during the school week. By visiting schools, he hopes more kids will discover Lambert House and benefit from the community it provides. Tong says he's ready to be the lifeline to those kids, the same way the volunteers on that pivotal Wednesday night were a lifeline to him.
I think the most important thing at Lambert House is the community that we have here. The other youth that very often see each other as family. I used to be the baby of the house. I used to look up to all of the other older youth and think of them as older siblings. And they'd, like, teach me how to be a queer person. And now I'm that person for a lot of the young youth here.
Back downstairs, Avery is finishing up washing dishes from dinner. The conversations with Brendan and Tong have me thinking about the friendships and traditions that have built this house over the decades. I ask Avery if there are any traditions they've carried over from the volunteers that helped out at Lambert House when they were in high school and hanging out here on a Friday night.
Something I started doing when I first became a volunteer here is play the song Closing Time. Like, Closing Time. Da, 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 da. You know that song? Because one of the volunteers that I was super fond of as a youth, he was just like this super funny, outgoing adult that I could talk to, and a way for him to nudge us to get out, like a little bit of a sweet way to say that we're closing up the night, is that he would play Closing Time and sing to it.
Avery tells me it's hard for some youth to go home.
That really just shows me how much they love this place. I would say for me, there is work to do here in terms of like chores, but I always feel really energized after being here. I don't know if it's just the social aspect, getting that energy from other people, but I feel energized and refreshed and just excited to come back the next week.
It's getting late. Youth are slowly starting to trickle out. I pack up my bag and wave goodbye to Avery and Tong. Later, I get an audio message from Avery.
You did play it! Thank you! Because I literally had just made a comment about, oh, we should play Closing Time.
It's the perfect little joke for Avery to send. Because while the song's lyrics say you've got to leave, Avery knows the unspoken secret. The people who love Lambert House and its mission can keep coming back.
That was Soundside producer Noelle Gaska talking to Radioactive alum Avery Steyer about Lambert House, a community center for LGBTQ plus youth in Seattle's Capitol Hill neighborhood. If you or someone you know is LGBTQ plus and in need of crisis support, you can contact the Trevor Project hotline at 1-866-488-7386. You can listen to Avery's original story about Lambert House and hundreds of other stories produced by Radioactive at their website, kuw.org/radioactive. We want to give a special thanks to Radioactive program manager Leela Lakehart, program producers Kelsey Tolshin Kupferer and Troy Landrum Jr. for their collaboration with the Radioactive Rewind series and for being incredible colleagues. We'd also like to thank the hundreds of Radioactive participants who shared their stories with listeners over the past 20 years.
Thanks for listening to Soundside. By the way, this show is only possible because listeners support us. If you are able to give right now, check out the show notes for a link to donate. And don't forget, you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org.
Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's Teen Dance Ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. A story of moral panic, grassroots activism, and an unstoppable music community that fought for its freedom. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.